Part 9, Chapter 6. It was an intense hum of intent men in the room of the old mining town near the lode. Several groups were hard at work. It had amused the Scots very much to take over the offices of the Empire Dauntless Mining Corporation. The building had been almost intact, and when cleaned up, made an acceptable operations room. Johnny half suspected that somebody had rebuilt the town after the lead lode mine had played out. It was too unlike other towns. He tried to figure out why anyone would reconstruct a town after its ore was gone, but evidence certainly showed someone had. Next door was a place called the Bucket of Blood Saloon that the parson had gravely put off limits. It still had its glasses and mirrors intact, and paintings of nearly nude dancing girls and cupids could dimly be made out. Across the street was an office labeled Wells Fargo, and another one labeled Jail. They all lived in the London Palace Elite Hotel, which had labeled suites named after men who must have been famous in mining. Three of the old widows queened it over a coal-burning galley, Angus had explained to them. It had running water. Luxury. The Empire Dauntless offices contained what must have been working models of the mine, and they had found history pamphlets in it that talked about the good old wild days of a boom camp and bad men. Also, curious little leaflets that said tour schedules, and had a daily time and place scheduled for a bank holdup. Paintings of prospectors and mine discoverers and bad men had been cleaned off and put back on the walls. Robert the Fox and two pilots were studiously going over possible plans to hijack an ore freighter. They had no craft that could possibly fly to Scotland or Europe, for their mine equipment could only go a few hundred miles. They had been going around and around this problem ever since the night the demon had told them about bomber drones. They felt they had a responsibility to alert not only the Scots, but other peoples they might find traces of. They dared not alert the cyclos they were up to anything. To intercept in the air, leaving the cyclos to believe the freighter had gone down over the sea, was the only thing they kept coming up with. But to silence the cyclo pilot radio, to board a freighter plane to plane in midair, were some of the things they couldn't work out. Another group, two of the leaders who were off shift with Thor and Dunaldin and some of the miners, were going over mining progress. They had gotten down to the lode and were drifting along it inch by inch toward the cliff. The quartz they were taking out was pure and beautiful, but it had no gold in it. Johnny had explained to them from references that it was a lode with pockets. Wire gold veins only had pockets of gold every few hundred feet. It was not continuous valuable ore. They were getting tired of mining pure white quartz with no gold to show for it. They were trying to figure out how close they were to the fissure in the cliff. It had widened a tiny amount, which worried them. The historian, Dr. McDermott, was off by himself, chair tilted against a wall, reading industriously from things his scout had lately brought in from a collapsed school library in a little mining town. Johnny, Angus, the parson, and the schoolmaster were clustered over the parson's sketch of the valley. The positions of the live radiation points were in a line. At first, Johnny had thought it might be a vein of uranite popping to the surface at intervals.